Deprogram with Michael Parker on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Greetings, friends. This is Michael Parker. This is Deprogram. We are now in the second hour of today's show. I will be joined in just a moment by Darlene Lancer, and we'll be talking about the nature of dreams and dream analysis. First, I've got to run down this story. You just heard Patrick speaking about it earlier, and this is the tragedy in Uvalde, Texas, which is my home state. And in my time doing radio since 2006, I've seen many of these things happen, and it always breaks my heart. Anyway, let's run this thing down. Yesterday, 21 people were killed in an attack by a lone gunman at an elementary school in a small town of Uvalde, Texas, which is not far from San Antonio, Texas. At least 19 students and two adults were among the casualties. This gunman was apparently killed by a Border Patrol agent after local officers asked for backup after engaging with the gunman. Now, here's where I'm a little bit confused, because yesterday I was reading that the Border Patrol agent had acted without backup. But now I'm reading that a Border Patrol tactical unit responded to the scene and one of the agents shot and killed the suspect. So, you know, we're still getting the full details of what happened. And this attack at Robb Elementary School occurred just 2 days before summer break. Just awful. And the school taught students in grades 2 through 4, and there were about 600 kids there. And 19 students, two teachers were killed. Apparently, this shooter was able to make entry into a classroom. He barricaded himself inside that classroom and then began shooting indiscriminately. So, you know, when they talk about him being able to buy these guns legally, I mean, that may be true. I'm not sure how he got the guns, so I cannot speak to that. And I cannot even speak to what kind of guns there are, because in the early portion of this story, I think there's a lot of information that we still have to figure out. Now, there were pictures on social media that supposedly showed him with these very horrible guns. They were certainly not handguns. But anyway, we'll have to wait and see. You know, we'll have to get more details. The thing that also upsets me about these things is that right now we should be thinking about the families who lost their children and their adult family members, and our prayers should be with them. And instead, what I see is immediately late night comedians, President Biden, NBA basketball coaches, you know, jumping on there, waving their finger, yelling and screaming at all of us. Now, to be fair, I don't have the answer. I do not have the answer to what we're going to do about this, but it always just rubs me wrong when we immediately start politicizing this thing. Now, tomorrow on the show, I am going to spend 2 hours discussing this in depth. Matt Rodriguez, who is running for sheriff here in Los Angeles, is going to join me along with CC Woods, and we're going to speak about this and some other school shootings that have happened, not only in the U.S., but specifically here in Southern California. So I don't know. This makes me super sad. I didn't sleep well last night. I hate these things. And I'm just going to leave you with some words from Matthew McConaughey, the famous actor. He's actually from Uvalde. And I think his comments were some of the most sincere and measured that I've heard. He says, As you all are aware, there was another mass shooting today, this time in my hometown of Uvalde, Texas. Once again, we have tragically proven that we are failing to be responsible for the rights our freedoms grant us. The true call to action now is for every American to take a longer and deeper look in the mirror and ask ourselves, what is it that we truly value? How do we repair the problem? What small sacrifices can we individually take today to preserve a healthier and safer nation, state, and neighborhood tomorrow? We cannot exhale once again, make excuses, and accept these tragic realities as the status quo. As Americans, Texans, mothers, and fathers, it's time we reevaluate and renegotiate our wants from our needs. We have to rearrange our values and find a common goal above this devastating American reality that has tragically become our children's issue. This is an epidemic we can control, and whichever side of the aisle we may stand on, we all know we can do better. We must do better. Action must be taken so that no parent has to experience what the parents in Uvalde and the others before them have endured. And to those who dropped off their loved ones today, not knowing if it was goodbye, no words can comprehend or heal your loss. But if prayers can provide comfort, we will keep them coming. And those were the words of Matthew McConaughey about yesterday's tragedy. This is TNT.
Clashing on the controversies.
It's a woke society, and I am fed up with it.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is our second hour. Today, we're going to speak with Darlene Lancer. She was on the show just a few weeks ago. She is a licensed marriage and family therapist, an international relationship expert, and media spokesperson, largely on narcissism, codependency. She's been counseling individuals and couples for over 30 years and coaches internationally. She has several different books. One is them is Conquering Shame and Codependency, 8 Steps to Freeing the True You. Another one is Codependency for Dummies. And one of the things that most intrigued me about Darlene, what I wanted to spend an hour on today, is the nature of dreams. And she does do dream analysis and dream therapy. Darlene, good morning.
Good morning to you. Thank you for asking me back to talk about one of my favorite subjects.
Dreams. Same here. Did you know, I was telling my friends months and months ago, I was like, you know, one day I would like to do a podcast just on dreams. And they're like, yeah, that's a great idea. Well, come to find out just a couple of days ago, I guess the journalist Cheryl Atkinson, I guess, has a podcast about dreams. So I guess somebody beat me to the punch, but we're going to talk about this today anyway. And when I was first reading about you, it seems like you were intrigued by dreams at a very early age, and you read Freud's work on dream interpretation. So explain to me how you got so interested so early in the subject of dreams.
Well, you're correct. My brother was in medical school. He was 10 years older than I. And I saw his book, Freud's Interpretation of Dreams, and I picked it up and I was reading it in my flashlight every night when I was like 12 years old, because I had been an avid dreamer from, I don't know, 7 years old, I remember, thinking about my dreams, trying to plan them before I go to sleep. And of course, they were all filled with superheroes and all the content that little girls think about in their waking life. So fairy tales and Guinevere and Lancelot and Superman and all those figures. So
and
that's how I started getting interested. And then later I was introduced to Carl Jung, and I started reading about Jung and Hermann Hesse's work, Steppenwolf, when I was in college. He was very Hesse was very popular at that time. And the whole idea of Jungian psychology fascinated me, and that dreams could actually reflect stages of personal development. So I thought, even at 12 years old, I thought that Freud's interpretation of the meaning of dreams and the purpose was very limited and not very in depth, and that being able to understand dreams and their purpose would be a monumental gift to humanity. So I thought that would be very important.
Yeah, I agree. As a matter of fact, in the segment After Hours, I'm going to have a biblical historian on. We're going to talk about some things. And one of the things we're going to talk about is the Magi, who in their time were dream interpreters. So the idea of dream interpretation being an important thing for mankind, this goes back, you know, into ancient times.
Oh, yes. I mean, it's in the Bible, right?
Yes.
In Egypt and before that, in Greece, the leaders would go to the oracle and to Delphi and pray for a dream, and then they would use that as guidance. And in tribal cultures, the shaman would have dreams, and then he would communicate them to the rest of the tribe, and it would direct their actions, would be in accordance with what was dreamt. So going all the way back to very early pre-biblical times, people have been using dreams as guidance and for healing.
Darlene, can you tell me, at least in your understanding, so what happens in the brain when we dream? Before we get into the analysis and what symbols are, just on a biophysical level, what happens in the brain when we dream at night?
Well, there's REM. They could tell when you're dreaming because your eyes make certain movements. It's called REM sleep. Mm-hmm. And whether or not you remember your dreams, you're dreaming during the night, during these periods of REM sleep. And people who have been deprived of REM sleep suffer. So it actually serves a healing, beneficial function to the brain and to our physiology to be able to dream. Not everybody remembers their dreams, and there's techniques you can employ to do that, to help you remember them. But everybody does dream, so it serves a biological function.
So my understanding also is that the brain releases DMT during the dream state.
I don't know that much about the chemistry of it. I focus more on the clinical aspects and
Understood.
Working with clients, the dreams, and my own dreams.
Darlene, today we're so busy. I mean, we've got so many distractions. We've got our phone and we're working hard and we're doing so many things. It's like right now, I admit I'm sleep deprived. I did not sleep well last night. And typically I just think most people, unfortunately, these days are probably not getting the amount of sleep that they need, which means they're not getting the amount of dream time that they need for us to kind of do our reset. And it's unfortunate. Maybe that's another problem that we have today in today's society is we are so busy and so distracted that we're not getting that reprogramming time of sleep and dream time.
Well, I think we dream even when we don't have a lot of sleep. You may not remember them. I didn't sleep well myself last night because they turned off our water. The city did because they were doing some repair on the main and I was very thirsty. So I kept waking up to have a little sips of water. And yet I was dreaming all night long. I think I remember at least, three or four dreams. But I kept waking up about every hour to sip some water because I was dehydrated. So...
Where did you already know they shut the water off or did you just wake up thirsty?
No, I thought it was going to be shut off the day before. Uh-huh. And then after dinner, they turned it off. And it was just when I wanted to have some water and I found, I had ice cubes. And I didn't have any bottled water, but I found some ice. And so as that melted, I was sipping it through the night.
Well, you mentioned that we dream and sometimes we don't remember it. And that's, I have gone through phases where I try to write down my dreams and unfortunately I don't do it nearly enough. But I mean, there is that moment when you wake up and you can, maybe you're waking up from the dream and then you start to write it down. I mean, there've been times where I did start to write it down and like, it's just slipping away from me so fast. And, but there's other times, Darlene, that I've had a memory of a dream out of the blue. Like I'll be doing something and then something will trigger my mind and go, whoa, I remember that I had a dream about a particular thing. And I don't know, it's just really mysterious and very interesting to me how the mind can work and how dreams work.
I know what you're talking about. I always love it when that happens. It kind of reminds me of the old Groucho Marx show, when during the interview, if you said the magic word, if you happen to say, then you'd win a prize or something. Mm-hmm. A little duck would drop from the ceiling with the word on a piece of paper. So yeah, sometimes that happens where you don't remember a dream and then somebody says the word, golf club or something. And then you said, oh yes, I had a dream about that. And then it all comes back to you. But the best way to remember your dreams is not to wake up to an alarm And when you're starting to become conscious, train yourself to, your first thought should be, what was I dreaming? Because as soon as you start thinking about the day or other things, the person next to you, you may forget your dream. And also, don't move your body. Don't turn over. Don't move around. Don't open your eyes. Because any kind of movement brings you more into present time and out of the dream time. And sometimes I've remembered a dream during the night, or I've awakened and remembered a dream. And I may not want to put on a light and write it down. And so I recapitulate the dream. I try to memorize the dream.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I recall it. And sometimes, even though I try very hard, I can't remember it. So it's good if you can write it down or record it on your phone or tape recorder.
It's interesting that you say don't wake up to an alarm. And I can totally get that, because the alarm just throws you all out of whack and you're surprised. And now you're in that state where the, now the dream is just dissipating.
Right. Quickly. So I don't know if it's like you don't have enough sleep. I mean, I guess you might not remember it. Your dreams, or might not have as many if you're sleep deprived. But if you're, as you said, under a lot of stress, you'll probably wake up and think about what's stressful during the day. And so you won't take that time in that in-between state, which is very rich and fertile with, you're closer to your unconscious early in the morning. So if you jump in out of bed and thinking about, you know, your emails or your work or your children or something like that, you don't, you miss out on that opportunity in that time, in that dream, semi-conscious dream state.
We have just a few minutes before we're going to take our first break. So I want to at least get started on this idea. Okay. So as are you, do you call it dream analysis or dream therapy when you work with your clients on their dreams?
Well, it's part of a bigger process. So
okay.
If someone contacts me for a dream interpretation, we will focus on the dream. But most of my clients come to me for other reasons. And occasionally they'll have a dream, or I might ask them about recent dreams. And then it enriches the therapy. It tells us kind of where they are, or what needs to be addressed. It can be supplemental then to the therapy. So I would say that is an interpretation of the dream, but the whole session is more than just dream interpretation, unless that's exactly what the person comes to me for.
I understand. So I mean, I knew that you did many different types of therapy, and that's a lot of what we talked about in our first interview. But I tell you what, we got a few minutes. So if I come to you and, you know, let's say I'm a substance abuse user, or I've got a problem with my relationship or something, but now I've had this interesting dream. And so I'm coming to you about a completely unrelated thing, but I tell you that I've had this dream. What do you say to me? How do we deal with this?
Okay, first I'd ask you to tell me the dream slowly.
Mm-hmm.
And after you tell it me the first time, and then I would go back and I would know the context. I'd know something about you and your life. So if you came to me for the first time, I'd want to know more about what's going on in your life and your relationships, your general mood, your goals, things like that, some context. But even if I know you, I would want to know what was going on that day.
Mm-hmm.
And what was on your mind. And then we would go into the dream and know more about the setting, because that could be very indicative of the mood, colors. And for instance, you mentioned a dream in Mongolia.
Yeah.
So that's a place. So yes. Where is the dream taking place? Is it in the past? Is it someplace in the present? Is it someplace imaginary? And colors are important. Some people dream in black and white. Other people are able to dream in colors. And colors have symbolic meaning. So then there's colors. And what is the perspective? Are you an observer? Are you an actor? What age are you in the dream? So we have the more variety of perspectives, the, you could say, higher level the dream is. So sometimes I and other people have a dream where they have an interaction with someone and then they're seeing it from another person's point of view.
Yes.
Or they first have the interaction as a child and then as an adult. So that shows you that the brain is really trying to get different perspectives and integrate something. It's a much more evolved psychologically dream because you're seeing it not just from one point of view. So is there a narration? Are you the principal player or is something being done to you? Or are you doing something to someone else? So the perspective. And then very important, the feelings. What is the mood of it? What's the predominant feeling? That's really the clue because the feelings tie it all together. And
let's stop.
So those are Darlene, some of the questions and the people.
We're going to return to these components. Okay. I've got to take a quick break. I'm speaking with Darlene Lancer. She is a licensed marriage and family therapist. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back and continue our discussion of dreams. This is TNT Radio.
The common housefly, caught in the clutches of the spider's web. Every move it makes just makes matters worse. Then, dinner time.
Feast on the captivating stories, videos, and helpful information on our website.
Whoa.
Dinner's ready.
Oh, man.
Escape is futile.
Just one more video.
Get stuck in our web.
TNTradio.live.
Wokeness is infiltrating churches, and people don't really know what's hitting them.
Critical race theory assumes that racism is everywhere. It is in everything. These ideologies have crept into the church.
I have grown up with this invisible kind of bag of privilege.
And I know as a white pastor, I have blind spots.
Reparations fits into the scope of the gospel.
It's a racist worldview. You're swinging in reason.
The social justice warriors say if you're white, you are racist. And if you say that you are not a racist, then you have to be a white supremacist.
I see within evangelicalism today an attack on the very gospel itself.
Social justice doesn't have to do with justice, it has to do with Marxism.
Wokeness is now the dominant academic paradigm on many university and college campuses.
Many of our Christian universities have fallen prey.
I went to an all-black school, raised in a black context. Everything was oppression. White people are racist, cops can't be trusted, and this world is not for us, it's against us. We felt like the government owed us. I have a family, I have children, and I don't have a job. I was just, it was at the darkest point in my life.
Because I was white, would we have to divorce and separate due to my skin color?
Christianity enables people to find forgiveness and redemption. However, Marxism is completely vindictive.
There is no redeemer and there is no redemption in the religion of anti-racism.
I believe that the evangelical church today is going to have to make a decision. Are we going to submit to the culture or are we going to remain true to the faith and take the consequences?
How the left is stealing your church. The invasion of the gospel of woke at salemnow.com.
Our mission is to educate, inspire, and arm.
This is the sound of honor roaring. This is the sound of a generation rising above.
We want to be involved in the education of young people so that they can take the stories that our pilots tell and realize their own dreams.
The Commemorative Air Force honors the heroes of yesterday while educating and inspiring the heroes of tomorrow. You can learn more at soundsofhistory.org.
Freedom of speech, freedom of movement, freedom of choice, freedom of assembly. Freedom of Health. The voice of freedom is TNT Radio.
All right, we are back. This is Deprogram on TNT. My name is Michael Parker. I'm speaking with Darlene Lancer. She's a licensed marriage and family therapist. And part of what she does when she's speaking with her clients on whatever other issues they need to address is occasionally they will have dreams, and she's telling us how she analyzes the dream to get further information on the struggles that the client is having in whatever area of their life they come to. And Darlene, you know, I was making a list of things because one thing I wanted to talk about is just the components of dreams. And of course, you know, I believe it was Freud, who had these various symbols meant such and such. And Carl Jung had a book called Man and His Symbols, I believe, as well. But symbols to me seem like, while there may be universal symbols, there should also be symbols that are, you know, personal to the person. So if this bottle of water I'm holding in my hand means something to me, it might not mean the same thing to you. So let's take this segment to just talk about symbols and further discussion of the components of dreams.
Okay. So yes, I touched on this last time that
yes.
I would look for the individual's association to the symbol mm-hmm. first. So that would be the highest priority.
And that makes sense to me.
Yeah. What does it mean to you? So rather than imposing on the individual what is commonly thought or what Freud thought or Jung thought, well, Jung would always start with the individual too. So that would be my first line of interpretation, is what the symbol means to the individual. And I also wanted to touch on the different actors in the dream. It's one way of looking at a dream is, even though they're different people in the dream, that they represent, or you could say symbolize, aspects mm-hmm. of yourself.
Yes.
So it could be somebody who is in your dream who is very loving. So maybe that represents a loving part of yourself, or someone who's very angry and rageful. And maybe that's a part of yourself that you are aware of, or maybe that's even unconscious. So people in the dream can all be parts of you, and even animals can be parts of you too. So you could think of everything in the dream is an aspect of you. Animals are symbols from, you know, way back and tribal times too. So they represent aspects of you, as well as maybe some universal aspect as well. I mean, animals, but people, you could also want to know if someone is dreaming and they're telling me about a friend in the dream, mm-hmm. I would ask them to describe the person's personality in just a few words or a few sentences. What sums up that person? What do they represent? And maybe then that's an aspect of themselves. For instance, if someone has a dream of a woman who's very artistic, let's say, and she's pregnant. So that might mean that the dreamer is about to birth a part of themselves that's very artistic, because their friend who is artistic is now pregnant. So this is a new part of the dreamer that's going to come to life. And that could be, that's just use an example of someone who's artistic or creative, but it could be anything else. Someone who's maybe in a certain profession that this person aspires to go into. And this is, they're birthing a new part of themselves. So that's one way that people can be symbolic too.
And you also mentioned point of reference, which is interesting to me because, yes, sometimes people will have a dream and it's almost like they're watching it happen. And maybe you're even a figure in the dream, but it still feels like you're watching it and not participating in it, which is interesting to me.
Well, the first level of a dream, Ernest Rossi, who is a Jungian, he wrote Dreams, Consciousness, and Spirit. And he thought that dreams actually make changes in your brain. And he wrote a book about it, even in your genetic material. So he said that there were seven levels of dreams. Mm-hmm. And the first is when you're passive. Maybe there's not even people in it. You're not in it. You're just watching it. Mm-hmm. And the next, you might be in it, but you're watching it, and then you're an observer. And so it goes on from there with more complexity. There might be dialogue. First, in the lower level dream, there's no dialogue. And then another level would be self-reflection. You have a conversation with someone in your dream, and then you think about it in your dream. Mm-hmm. Then, as I mentioned, seeing action from different perspectives. So you might be on the ground and something's happening, and then you're in a building looking down on the situation. So you're seeing it from a higher perspective. Or as I said, different ages. You can even have dreams within dreams.
Yes.
And then there's lucid dreaming. So the higher the level, it's not like one is good or bad, but as you get to more complexity, there's more cognition involved, more awareness. So they can say awareness is like the light of consciousness. Then you're starting to reprogram gene expression. And when you work with your dreams in waking life, the more you do so, the more your dreams will respond to you, because it becomes a dialectical process of self-reflection. And it's like you are now involved in your individuation, in your growth as an individual, your psychic growth, because now you're interacting with your unconscious. And then you may have series of dreams about a subject that you've been thinking about or writing about and reflecting on. It becomes a co-evolving process. Mm-hmm. You could call it psychosynthesis, towards greater health and depth of personality and wholeness.
In your practice, have you seen any trends in dreams? Have you seen things that stuck out to you like, wow, that's interesting. I'm noticing that in a few people, or are just anything that's interesting about the dreams that people have told you over the years that you could share?
Well, I had a dreamer come to me for a dream interpretation. And I, frankly, it was so many years ago, I don't remember the dream. But she was happily married at the time. And then she had a dream that was very dark. And I don't remember the content. But what came out of my discussion with her, and I asked her if there had been, and I guess it was some violence or something. Mm-hmm. And I asked her if there had been any abuse in her childhood. Mm-hmm. And she hadn't thought about that. And she said, yes, in fact, there was. And so she realized that she hadn't dealt with this material that was buried in her unconscious. And after our session together, she decided to go into therapy to work through her child abuse issues. And then I had someone that I was working with told me he had a recurring dream throughout his life where he would be trying to get home and he'd have to cross a bridge. And he could never get across because the bridge was broken. I don't remember the details, but it was falling apart and he couldn't get home. And then after working in just doing ongoing therapy with me for about 6 months or a year, he had a dream. It was a repeat of the dream, but now the bridge was spanking new, with the boards were all firm and solid, and there was even a handrail, and he could easily walk across. So it was a really important dream symbolizing his progress in towards coming home to himself. He was working on his codependency. And so that dream showed that he was on his way home.
He was excellent.
Getting there. And dreams about going home, home represents the self. And Jung thought that dreams by and large are a process of individuation, becoming a whole separate person, which goes on throughout life. And that's what one of the main purposes of dreams. And so you can think of home as the self with a capital S, coming home to yourself. So like home is where you are. And instead of as a codependent, making somebody else more important than yourself and reacting to someone else and not having a strong sense of self. So this individual was now getting much stronger and he was on his way home. So that was one. I've had dreams that are precognitive that have been very helpful to me.
And let's talk about that.
Yeah, dreams can be paranormal. So the paranormal includes dreams that are precognitive, meaning they're going to predict something that's going to happen. They could be clairvoyant, which is gives you information about a location or object or something distant that's not coming from your own mind. Or it could be telepathic. So you're dreaming about something that's going on in someone else's mind or someone else's dream. I've had those too, where I had a dream about someone that things I didn't know about them. And then I would call them up and say, does this have any meaning to you? And they would say, yes, it's exactly what it was some advice or something that was going on with them. So I've had the precognitive and the telepathic dreams. Mm-hmm. And sometimes people dream of they're called psi dreams for psychic PSI of other dimensions. There's something called a dream of initiation, which is foretells like your path that you're going on, the next stage of your life. Often when a person comes to therapy, Jung would ask them about dreams they had had in the days before, because often that would predict what was important to work on or where the person was headed. It would be an important dream to be like a roadmap for the therapy. So those are some of the dreams that I can think of. I can get into more specifics if you'd like.
Well, no, several things that you said make me think, and I have had recurring dreams in my life where they are kind of located around themes. Like you mentioned the home. I grew up on a farm and I often dream, I haven't in a while, maybe I've just forgotten about it, but there for a while, I would often dream of my childhood home, which was on a farm. And sometimes, and I've noticed this with, there was another place, I used to work for Virgin Entertainment, Richard Branson's company. And they had a store here in Los Angeles. I was one of the first employees. I was a merchandise buyer for them. I had very fond memories of that place. I met my wife there and I made friends there. But that comes up in my dreams a lot. And in both of these cases, whether it's home or that particular place of employment, they come in my dreams a lot, but sometimes they will look completely different and be represented in a completely different way, which is also interesting. I don't know what that means, but I understand that it's my home. I understand that it's, you know, my former workplace or school. You know, I'll have many dreams of schools, and I know that these are probably all very common archetypal dreams, but if you want to speak to that.
Well, I don't know. I'd have to go into more again about the meaning to you and what was happening at the time. But these are positive. It sounds like they're places where you felt good and you it was positive. Yes. So something about that has meaning to you in the present time. And I'm not sure what that would be.
And Darlene, I didn't mean so much just about me, but from what little understanding I have of dreams, and I am interested in paranormal spiritual ideas. So I've read a little bit, but I mean, schools, home, workplaces, I mean, those are common things that people seem to have in their dreams, from my understanding.
Oh, of course. And sometimes I dream about my childhood home, and it usually is about something from my past that is unresolved. Or some PTSD thing, or some issue from my childhood that I'm still working through. And so I'm going back in time in my dream, because time is, as we say, we could have dreams about the future events and dreams about the past, deja vu dreams. So time is very malleable in the dream state.
Yes.
And so if you're dreaming about your childhood, maybe something unresolved.
I understand. Darlene, let's take a quick break. We've got to take our final break for this segment. I'm speaking with Darlene Lanser. She's a licensed marriage and family therapist, and we are talking about the nature of dreams. You are listening to TNT Radio. This show is deprogrammed. We'll be right back.
The midterms and America votes on November 8th. With his expert analysis and opinion, this is TNT Radio's Jeremy Beck.
The United States is truly in a breakdown crisis. And as I have previously mentioned, I wonder if the November midterm elections will even go ahead. They probably will, but we are in for some volatile months with an escalating war danger with Russia and a serious economic crisis which will be much worse by year's end. Already, supply chains of many commodities are in crisis, which will directly impact plans for the November elections. For instance, Louisiana Secretary of State Kyle Wadoan said his state had to contact every paper producer in North America to ensure supplies were ready for November. This is a crisis that demands immediate attention and bipartisan action, he said, and added that a paper shortage could lead to a serious erosion in the confidence of the elections. This is just one anecdote, but America is hanging by a thread. I'm Jeremy Beck for TNT Radio.
This message is for Karina, our mom who finished her high school diploma at age 28. Hi, Mom. It's Amethyst and Nicholas.
Congratulations on getting your diploma.
You worked so hard and have taught us so much.
We love you.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you prevent wildfires.
Dude, I've got this. I've been camping since I was 5 years old.
But I am a camping influencer.
You know what? I'll bet you $5. Assistant Smokey, what is the best way to put out a campfire?
To put out a campfire, drown with water, stir, drown again. Then make sure the fire is out cold by feeling with the back of your hand.
Wait, really?
I'll take the $5.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
TMT.
I'm tired of it.
I don't know where to begin.
Everybody's tired of it.
TMT.
I call it the oh my God virus.
Why do we give them the power?
Absolutely stupid.
Of course, it's ridiculous.
And it just goes along with everything else.
For them to actually mandate a vaccine.
Get the straight talk from us.
Time for us to be bold and be strong.
TMT.
And I wanted to thank you for that.
Telling the truth is the only mandate we believe in.
When you get into the facts and logic and reason thing, it drives me crazy because you're right.
TMT Radio.
I just was calling to give you my 2 cents.
TMT Radio. Live.
All right. So you are listening to Deprogram. My name is Michael Parker. And in this segment, we are talking about dreams with Darlene Lanser. She's a licensed marriage and family therapist. And you can find out more about Darlene at darlenelanser.com. Darlene, you were mentioning at the top of the show, you know, we talked about your interest in Freud. You mentioned that you read Carl Jung, you'd read Hermann Hesse. I went through a Hermann Hesse phase as well. What are some other books, sources, authors that have done good work on dreams that you could share?
Well, I mentioned Ernest Rossi.
Yes.
And his book is Dreams, Consciousness, and Spirit. And Another book is Our Dreaming Mind by Robert Van de Castle. And it's a overview of many other theorists and types of dreams. So it's good for someone who really wants to know more in general about dreams. Mm-hmm. And Von Franz, F-A-R-N-Z, is well known in the Jungian community for her work on dreams, Maria von Franz, and someone named Medard Boss, B-O-S-S, was an existentialist who wrote a lot about dreams. And there's one other person, Stekel, S-T-E-K-E-L, and he also, he, Boss, Freud, and Jung were maybe, and von Franz are maybe the leading theorists about dreams.
It's, I think, I could be wrong, but I think that people are, dreams have always been a popular subject, as we mentioned, especially among the ruling elites. You know, they would hire people to analyze their dreams, or politicians, or royalty, or what have you. But I think that there is, you know, we're going through these difficult times, and we're surrounded by information, but we thirst for knowledge, is the saying. And I feel like there is a reemerging interest in dreams. And like I say, I've done shows on other programs about dreams, and I always kind of wanted to get around to doing a podcast just strictly about dreams from all different angles. Now, somebody's beat me to the punch, but do you feel like there is a reemerging interest in dreams, or is it just, you know, always been
not
there?
I don't know. I'm not aware of that.
Okay.
Maybe there's more interest in the paranormal in general, but I'm not sure about that, because I've been interested in it all my life. So I don't know. Mm-hmm. Oh, maybe with now on YouTube, there's so many stories of near-death experiences and past life mm-hmm. experiences. So maybe the broader public is getting exposed to it.
Well, I think that, you know, when I think about things like religion, or I think about things like music or film, or these transitory states of awareness, and I think that typically people, unless you're using drugs, or you're watching a movie, or you're having a sexual relation, dreams are this aspect of our life that transcends the normal, and there's a fascination with it. And it's our portal to information that's not accessible to us in our waking state.
Absolutely. I mean, we really don't know what the unconscious is.
Yes.
And so this is a portal to the unconscious. And I mean, we can mention dreams that are telepathic or dreams that are precognitive. Often someone will have a dream of someone who is about to die, or mm-hmm. who just died, usually a relative or someone close to them. It's living far away. Right after the death, the person comes to them. So it really gives us a window into the possibilities of what is going on, what yeah. is the universe, what is consciousness, and what are these other realms or dimensions? How could we possibly dream about something before it happens? What does that, it's easy to say, well, I had that dream and then it came true. But if you really look at it deeper, what does that mean? What does that say about time?
Mm-hmm.
How can we know something before it happens? Or how can we know what someone else is thinking telepathically?
Yeah.
People have these experiences all the time. So how do minds communicate? And there have been a lot of research, you know, parapsychological research on this. It's become more and more scientific rather than just anecdotal, where they have dreamers in one place, and then recipients they call them percipients, in another room or another place. And the dreamers in the first set are sending information to the percipients and to see if they can have a dream, if they can send information in the dream state. And in many cases, they can. It's often not exactly, but it's the same theme. So there is information that's being transmitted. How is that happening? We don't know.
Have you seen the movie Inception?
No.
It's a Christopher Nolan film. Anyway, it's a pretty long film. It's an epic film, but it's basically about planting ideas into someone's mind via dreams and then going down in various levels of the dreams. It's really fascinating. You should check it out at some point. It's one of my favorite films. But in our last few minutes here, how is it possible? And I think it is, and I'm asking you, how is it possible to train ourselves to dream or to plan a dream?
Oh, well, the reading about dreams, thinking about dreams is going to sort of plant seeds. What you do in your waking life influences your dream life. Keep, as I said, a recorder or pen and paper by your bedside, and don't move, don't wake up, open your eyes, all these things to try to remember a dream. And before you go to sleep, tell yourself that you are going to remember your dreams. And you can even ask or pray for dreams about a certain subject. I once did this. I was going on a trip to see some healers about a physical problem I had. And I asked for guidance in dreams beforehand. And the next morning, I had briefly remembered my dreams that didn't seem very relevant. And then I went to see these healers. There were a few women. And we got into a conflict, and I actually didn't trust them. And I thought they were scamming me. And then I remembered my, and I was about to leave, and I remembered my dreams, and they were all pertinent to what was going on. And it gave me, because I was a little unsure of whether I was right or wrong about what was going on, and they validated my intuition when I recalled the dream from like 2 days ago, and it really did. I've had other dreams that were warnings. They didn't ask for the dream, but it came to me and it prepared me for what was going to happen the next day. That's happened a few times.
And what did you do?
Well, I actually was prepared. In one case, someone was calling me to manipulate me about something, and the dream prepared me to be very strong and steadfast in my position. And I was that way on the phone, and the whole thing like fell apart. And you can ask for guidance in a dream if you have a problem. You know, the Chinese, if they had a decision to make, there was a saying, take a pillow, sleep on it. So often if you have an issue, rather than acting right away, ask for guidance in a dream, and you may have a very different perspective. So if you're very angry, you might have a dream of healing and tranquility. You're no longer angry at the person. Or maybe it gives you courage to stand up to someone. Or maybe it gives you a warning that a relationship is out of balance, or that you need to leave, or that the person isn't right for you in some way. So talk to your unconscious, talk to your higher self. And, you know, you can write these things down so it has more weight. And your dreams will start responding as you request. You can pray for courage before you have to go into something, a meeting or a new job or a surgery or something. So your unconscious will give you, it's like your prayers are being answered. So, but you just have to ask.
You have to acknowledge and ask. Fantastic. Darlene, thank you so much for coming back on the show. We will do this again. I've been speaking with Darlene Lancer. She is a licensed marriage and family therapist. You can find her at darlenelancer.com. My name is Michael Parker. This is Deprogram. This is TNT. We got to take a quick break, and then we will be back with Tim Kies, and we will be talking about biblical accuracy in the nativity story. We'll be right back.